In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The first time I remember either hearing or reading about the parable of the sower, I was in my first year of high school. This was about a year before I was baptized a Catholic. And I was in an electronics lab, and a friend of mine said, "Hey, Eric, you're a pretty religious guy. Why don't you help me with my seminary homework?" So I said, "No, Sam, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think they like the answers that I would give." He said, "Well, just take a look at it." So I looked at it, and there was, you know, the parable of the sower, and then there were a whole bunch of questions afterwards trying to say, you know, who is the one who falls upon rocky soil, and so on and so forth. And then he said, "So are you going to help me with it?" I said, "No, I'm not going to help you with it, because, you know, you shouldn't do other people's homework." I was that kind of kid from the beginning, you know, wouldn't do other people's homework. And secondly, you're really not someone's friend if your answers on their seminary homework get them called into their bishop's office. But in any case, it's odd how sometimes the seed from the sower will come from the most unexpected areas, including a friend's seminary homework in the electronics class. Well, that's my parable, my story on the parable of the sower. Jesus' parables, on the other hand, always have something to do with the faith. They're always something that you need to pay attention to. You know, sometimes in homilies, people come up with gimmicks. You know, I know some priests who always start their homily with a joke, which is fine until you run out of jokes. And sometimes the jokes have absolutely nothing to do with the homily. Then I know of a priest who said, who never gives a homily, he just tells a story. Which is great, as long as the story actually gets its point across. Jesus' stories always get their point across. But why does he talk in parables? You know, that's not a bad question to ask. In fact, the apostles asked it. Said, "Why do you speak to the crowds in parables?" And Jesus' answer, at first glance, would seem to be telling us is because Jesus wanted to hide what he was teaching so that people wouldn't understand it. But that's not the case. The reason that some people don't understand the parables is not because they are incapable of being understood. It's because the people have cut themselves off from understanding. They've cut themselves off from faith. Their ears are closed, and so are their eyes, and they have no understanding. And because of this, they lose what little they've had. Jesus' parables are given to us not to limit our understanding, but to increase our understanding of some very important things. You know, speaking in parables is not limited to Jesus. It happened a lot in the ancient world. That was how things were taught. We see that in the Old Testament. Oftentimes the messages which God sent to his servants, the prophets, and through them to the people of Israel, were in terms of parables. Remember when King David killed Uriah the Hittite so he could steal his wife? And God sent the prophet Nathan to pronounce condemnation upon David for doing this. And David told the story of what King David had done, but clothed in a parable. Instead of the wife of Uriah the Hittite, it was a little lamb. He had this poor man who had a little lamb, just one little lamb, and he had a rich man who had lots of things and lots of livestock. And the poor man with the lamb, this was his pet. He loved it, treated it like a member of the family. And when the rich man had a friend coming to visit, and he needed to throw a feast for him, did he take one of his own livestock and slaughter it and serve it to his guest? No, he stole from the rich man. And the story made King David furious. He said, "As the Lord lives, this man should die." And the prophet Nathan said to King David, "That man is you." This parable sidestepped All of King David's self-justification, his self-importance as being a king, and brought the reality of what he had done home. Parables are like that. They make us think. You know, even the pagan philosopher Plato, one of his greatest works, The Republic, he talks about the parable of the cave. And in it, he uses this image of a cave to show that we don't really see reality as it is. We only see shadows of what is real. And our Lord speaks in parables. He doesn't speak only in parables, but he uses parables a lot. Because the images stick with us, and they make us think. And they step around our preconceptions so that we can see things in different ways. You know, our Lord could have said, treat everyone like your neighbor. Show compassion to them. But instead, he gave the parable of the man who fell in among thieves, better known as the parable of the Good Samaritan, where this man, he gets robbed and he's left for dead on the side of the road, and the Levite won't help him, the priest won't help him, but the man who does show him compassion and helps him is his ethnic enemy, the Samaritan. Really drives the point home. All of Jesus' parables are like that. Everything that Jesus teaches us is a gift and a blessing from God, whether it's a parable or a saying or simply Jesus saying, do this and you shall live. But in order to receive any of these things, in order to receive God's teaching and for it to penetrate our minds and hearts, we have to have the gift of faith. And our eyes need to be open and our ears unstopped. Have you ever, you know, occasionally we need to stop and step back and reflect upon what a great gift God has given us in Christ. Not just in Jesus suffering and dying for us, but in God giving us the fullness of the gospel through Jesus, teaching us all that we need to know about who God is, about who we are, and how we can follow God into everlasting life. What a great blessing is ours whenever we read sacred scripture, whenever we hear it proclaimed, and whenever it is preached about, it is a great blessing. Because it is the fullness of truth which comes from God himself. In a sense, it is the owner's manual for being a human being. The one who creates us is showing us how to truly live as he intended us to live. God also shows us who he himself is and what he desires for us. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. And we are shown how to live with God forever in heaven. Jesus himself in today's gospel says and reflects upon how blessed we are, because this was the desire of the prophets, to hear those things. It is the desire of righteous men to hear those things. And yet, until the coming of Christ, they only heard them in partial and fragmentary ways. We are blessed, but only if we are open to what God wants to give us. Let's go back to the parable of the sower. You know, I don't think that it really should be called the parable of the sower, because it's really not about the sower. It's also really not about the seed. What is it about? Dirt. It should be the parable of dirt. And you always want to ask yourself in a parable, who's who? God is the sower. The word of God is the seed, and we are the dirt. So if you run into a friend and say, what did Father say today? He said, I'm dirt. But we get to decide what kind of dirt we are. We can be closed to God. We can have our minds so compacted and stomped down and hardened by the philosophies of this world, by the anti-gospel, that whenever the word comes to us, it just bounces off our minds and hearts. Or we can have the shallow soil, where the word only, we only allow the word a little bit in, and when some trouble comes along, and believe me, the trouble will come along, the word falls out. Or we can allow the word to be choked off by other concerns, other priorities. Or we can be truly open and responsive to the word of God, to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is calling us to do and to believe and to be. And then we will bear fruit, the fruit of righteousness and holiness, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And this fruit will lead us into everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.